Tassie, it's so good to have you with us. Last year, we were busy trying to explain how the cafe church sort of format worked, and it was a great time of sharing. This is a bit more regular, I guess. But welcome. Come to the front and tell us how you are. Let me pray for you first, and then I'll let you do whatever you'd like to do. Is that okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for Tassie, for the work in which you've given her to do, for the folk that she coordinates and cajoles and envisions and inspires. And now, Lord, we pray that we might be among that number this morning, that as we listen to all that you're doing in and through the work of Grace and Light International, would you set our hearts on fire, we pray, as you have done Tassie's. That'd help us to engage and listen and see how we might best support this encouraging mission, and to see how we in our small corner might be that light that blazes in this part of your world too. Bless her, I pray, as she shares with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless
you. Thank you. Good morning, church. I am sorry my voice is cracked this morning because I came with catarrh, hoping that I'll come with sunshine so I can get healed. But it seems your weather in the UK is not the one to heal me. But I'll trust God, and I'm trusting God that you would understand me this morning too. Tassigata is my name. I'm happy to see people I've seen last year. I was here almost exactly 1 year, and I'm happy that the faces I've seen, I'm seeing them, but also that I have new faces. So for those that I'm seeing for the first time, let me tell you, welcome. In Nigeria, we welcome anybody, even if it's not our home, if we are seeing them for the first time. And thank you, Peter, for the privilege of sharing again today and bringing all the greetings. I want to start by reading the Bible, then I will bring all the greetings I can bring, because we are into greetings in Nigeria. Did I tell you last year that when we greet people, we even check how their chickens are doing and who, what happened and all of that? I won't bring the Nigerian greetings, but with this, I want us to today look at the topic, social righteousness. Because I tried to introduce Grace and Light last time. I told you we are into HIV, the gospel, and social righteousness. And in the gospel bit last year, I tried to bring the three principles that we feel if every Christian will walk in the principle, which is the gospel of grace, if we are able to bring grace in our lives to people, we will bring many to the Lord. And we talked about light as part of our principle, that if our lives are in the light, that when we smile from our hearts, and when we speak to somebody, we speak not with strings attached, whatever we do and our life are in the light, then many people will want this Jesus we serve. And the third thing I told you we do under the gospel part of grace and light is love. And love is like a blood in anybody's, in every Christian's life, it's like a blood. If a Christian have no love, it's just dead, because blood with out of a person, the person is dead. So for a Christian to be a Christian, then love should be seen. And we have seen that there are so many Christians that love is not there. We just try to serve the Lord and maybe love him alone. But we can't love him and not love people around us. So those are the gospel bit. I tried to talk about HIV a little bit, but we said HIV is in the lower bit. But in these three principles, we are able to help people with HIV. I'll tell you a little bit about it. Today, the third part of grace and light, they are all huge. If I'm going to talk on one, I should talk on the principle one. But I am going to be looking at social righteousness. We've been doing social righteousness in grace and light for the past 10 years. And what is social righteousness? What do we mean when we said Christians need to live in social righteousness? It's easy to talk about social justice. And for many human rights activists, That is the way to go. Social justice. And usually social justice is the fact that somebody is demanding rights from somebody up there, from authority. Like in this church, if we want to fight for social justice, we'll go to the pastor. We need this. We don't want these chairs. So it's about the bigger person there bringing the right things to people. But in Grace and Light, we taught it's not about social justice. It's good, and we can still demand. When I talk to you about African governments, especially Nigeria, there is demands for social justice everywhere. But when it comes to Christianity and for Christians to be able to live as the Lord would want them to live, then we need social righteousness. I will define that, but there is a passage in the Bible that will help us define. So our topic today is social righteousness as a gospel imperative. English is not my first language. Do you say imperative? Thank you. So social righteousness as a gospel imperative is my topic today. And I find there are so many passages in the scriptures that will help us explain. But I want us to read this together. I'm hoping that the answer would be there before I explain what my topic is. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. If you are there or you can listen to me, if my English is good enough. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, we will read a little bit of long reading, but I'm sure it would help. The Bible says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, and separated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you have heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You are taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." I want to repeat 22. "You are taught in regard to your former way of life, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made anew in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." And last verse says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." May the Lord bless his reading. I would keep this off a little bit, and bring my greetings now, not the Nigerian way. But I want to bring a special greetings from the trustees back in Nigeria and those in the UK. We had a meeting yesterday. I came day before yesterday. Is that a Nigerian English or your English? Day before yesterday, we say. I came on Friday. And we had a meeting with the trustees here. But before then, I had a meeting with the trustees in Nigeria and told them about the church and your support to us. They sent greetings and appreciation. And from Grace and Light, on my behalf, and all the staff and volunteers in Grace and Light, we are very thankful to you for supporting Grace and Light in a wonderful way. And your support had gone a long way already. For what you have given us last year, we were able to speak some of the things we do in social righteousness, speaking concerning families, sexual and gender-based violence. So the support gotten from this church were used in three ways. The first one is we were able to train some couples. And in this training, so many families said they were at the verge of breaking. I remember the pastor's wife that was about to leave her husband told us that it was just for this training, for this workshop we have organized, that she is going to remain. And the pastor was grateful, because the sexual and gender-based matters are matters around the fact that people are in boxes. Anytime we talk about gender, we are talking about the ascribed roles given by the society, by a particular society that orders their lives around. Especially for couples, where in Nigeria, a lot of men don't do chores at all. That is how they are given birth to. A man should not go to kitchen, should not sweep, should not do this, you know. So the wife would have to carry the baby behind, carry all her things up on her head, and then do every chore in the house. So, and women are getting tired and don't know how to handle it. But we bring a message back to the church using the Bible, using the scriptures, and showing men and showing the women to what the Lord wants. From Genesis, he has created us in his image and his likeness, and we are supposed to complement each other. And we bring a workshop like for 3 days sometimes, and it helps. So I'm happy to tell you that we were able to channel the things you've given us to help people live better in their homes. There is a church deacon that his wife had 6 girls as babies. All about the 6 girls is because he's looking for a baby boy, and the baby boy never came. And he is about to divorce his wife and get married to another so he can get a baby boy. And our workshop saved him, and he understood that a gift of a child is from God and we are the same. It's just the biological differences. So these are some of the things we have done under sexual and gender-based violence. And from your support, we were able to help students that we go. I told you one of the things we do in Grace and Light is go to schools. We are a church-based organization, but we go to schools as well, secondary schools. And we were able to meet these young people that are beginning to change their thinking on the fact that they want a new Nigeria, in giving them hope for the next 15 years. You may not have heard, Nigeria is right now in a turmoil, even more with the election that had just gone. An 18-year-old just hanged himself after the election of the presidency, that he has seen no hope in Nigeria. Since there's so much rigging, the best thing to do is to die and leave Nigeria, which is very sad. So in schools, we have been trying to help students see that your life is in the hands of the Lord, and you can even be an agent of change. So many students have been doing that, and some students will drop from school because they have no school fees to pay. With your support, we were able to pay 3 people's school fees last year. And some few people that we got in church is HIV positive. We supported few of them to access drugs so they can get transport money from their villages to the hospital to get drugs. Many people are HIV positive. I saw the statistics of the World AIDS, UNAIDS, and it says 42 million people were HIV positive or are HIV positive presently in the world, but only 28 million accessing drugs. And the reason we knew is because some of them are really in the remote areas that they cannot go to bigger hospitals to access drugs. So for some few that we've gotten, we were able to send them for drugs. So I want to thank you on behalf of all of us in Grace and Light for the support you have given and for your prayers. Prayers for Nigeria, prayer for me in particular. Last time I was here, I told you I was kidnapped 3 times. Maybe the third time, my husband. And by his grace, we continued. You may be thinking, how is she doing? I met some people earlier. They said, what about your house? Are you still there? We are no longer in our house. Even from that time I came, we had to leave the house. We've been looking forward to selling the house, but the economy in Nigeria is bad, and the area we live in, many people will come and price the house, and a neighbor would say, do you want to be kidnapped too? And this is a kidnapped house. So people will not come. And we are trusting the Lord. I just believe, I and my husband believe that the Lord is doing something at his time. He would help us sell the house and we'll find another place. But for now, we are renting somewhere. And the kidnapping cases are still on. I feel bad for people. Just take last month a whole service like this. The kidnappers came and took a number of people with the pastor and just gone to the bush. I have not heard the story. It's just 3 Sundays back. I don't know what is happening right now. Thank you for those that have interest in other nations and praying. I know you're praying for Ukraine and other places, but as many as are also praying for Nigeria, we are grateful, but we are not there yet. Our election came. The rigging of the highest order is what I have seen. I've grown in this nation. We know riggings have been taking place, but this one is vivid, it's clear. And the people that were announced warned said, let's go to court. If you are not happy, go to court. But we just understood in Nigeria not just in Nigeria, but we just knew that when somebody would tell you go to court, when a thief meets you, he has stolen something from you and say, let's go to court, is because the chief judge is his father or grandfather. So nothing good would happen at the end of it. But we are trusting the Lord that the real person that won this election would have reason to come back, and we'll begin to see some changes in Nigeria. Just to give you a little bit of background of where we are. But like I said, today we are looking at social righteousness and as an imperative to the gospel we speak on. If I would define some terms a little, I want to define the social and the righteousness because it puzzles people's minds. Why would Grace and Light be talking about social righteousness? Social has to do with people, with relationships, with what we do. And in social righteousness, in Grace and Light, we have four big things we look at. The first one we are looking at is work and corruption. So our relationship with people, the right relationship with people, is it corrupted? Or are we working the way we should work? We look at it in churches. Usually when I will preach on this, I will take either work and corruption and look at it. There are so many Christians that thought their Christianity is more in the heart. And they would even tell you that it's nothing to be speaking about outside. Therefore, from Monday to Saturday, people will live their lives as they wish. But on a Sunday, yes, we are Christians. Then we can behave as one. And we want to tell Christians, no. In our workplaces, wherever we find ourselves, God expects that our righteousness goes with us. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, the righteousness of God has appeared. And in verse 24 that we are reading about, we are called to righteousness and holiness as Christians. So it has to go all the way wherever we are. And this is one of the things we look at in churches. And we encourage, and this morning too, I want to encourage somebody. I don't know where you are struggling with your Christianity. You don't know where to display it. I just want to encourage you in your workplace and in whatever you do with people. Jesus expects that righteousness will be seen. That is the reason for social righteousness. The second thing we look at is wealth and poverty. In the West, it's different. You meet everybody looking the same and easy. But when you go to Africa, and even in churches, you will find people that are wealthy. God has blessed them with wealth. But what they do with this wealth is intimidation. They intimidate whoever that is not as wealthy as they are. And we bring these words from the Lord to say that part of our social righteousness is that in case we are blessed, that the Lord has blessed us so we can bless the church and bless others and then build for ourselves places and keep treasures in heaven for ourselves. But I remember too, Paul is telling Timothy, tell all the preachers to remind those that are rich to give, not to intimidate, because that is what God has given them to use at a particular time. But then as we talk about wealth in the church on the social righteousness, we look at the issues of poverty. So much poverty in the church, especially back home. I don't know in the UK. We will need something, we will need a vehicle to do evangelism, but it will take years to gather the money to do. You find people going for welfare purses in the church. I remember talking in one village and somebody raised up their hands and told me, but madam, you know that even Jesus said the poor will remain with you. So there must be poor people in the church. And I asked him, did Jesus mention your name as the poor? And everybody laughed, but the truth is that God expects us to work. No wonder we can talk about work and corruption. Many also see work as a punishment from God. Some will say they have just come to escort wealthy people because they are the ones working. So we try to bring to the understanding of each and every Christian that God called us to work. And in the working, we should work to glorify God and know that we are not doing it as unto somebody, which brings eye service. And you go to Nigeria, you find people just working until they see the boss coming. Everybody goes to sit down and want to do something. So we talk about poverty and help people to know that they can do something with them, with their hands, that they can do something that will bring money and they will not have to be beggars. That is our wealth and poverty. The third thing we do, the third, yes, is that we talk about politics of righteousness. I'm happy to tell you that this talk on politics of righteousness under social righteousness have helped many Nigerians. For me, the election this year didn't go well at all. There's so much corruption in it that rigging is just at the bare. But for the first time in Nigeria, it was a little bit peaceful. Even when people were forced to not either vote, if they can't vote for a particular party, they didn't make noise. They either go back home or try to find authority to help. In those days, every election comes with violence. As we go to churches every time, we remind people that they have a duty for social righteousness. And one of the duties is politics of righteousness. We encourage Christians to join politics, to be delegates, but to carry Jesus Christ alongside and to work with Christ even in politics. In those days, you find a Christian that knows the church, that is a communicant member, would go to politics, and when somebody would bring something that is truthful, he would say, "Hey, could you stop this? This is not the church." But for a few years now, we've been speaking to Christians in churches that, please, as we go places, be socially righteous and do politics of righteousness. Therefore, carry Jesus to wherever you are. No violence, no fighting, nothing. And I've seen this year that violence has reduced drastically because people understand that they are Christians and they need to show their Christianity. They can't keep Jesus at home and go outside for voting. And we also encourage real Christians to join, that it's not a dirty game. So much church had said politics is a dirty game. I remember my father, when I was growing, was a church deacon, but when he opted for politics, his church told him he has to drop from being a deacon because it's a dirty game. And my father has to leave because Christians in court are not supposed to be in politics. But for us, we knew that everything in the scriptures that will bring something good has to go with politics. And because politics is influence. And the way we can influence the world is when Christians are up there also, bringing the truth and in righteousness. So we do that so much. The last thing we bring is the issue of the sexual and gender-based violence I talked to you about and what the Bible says. We are created in His image and His likeness, both male and female. All that makes us different is the biological difference, that women are this, men are that. But psychologically, emotionally, and otherwise, God has made us in His image and His likeness. So these are things we look at. So going back to our text this morning, I have tried to introduce what social righteousness means to Grace and Light, or to us, that every person, every Christian, takes their Christianity to the marketplace, to the public space, and show the fact that you know Jesus Christ, that we will not be gloomy, that we will be this letter, we will be the Bible, the unspoken Bible that God wants us to be. That somebody would see you in your workplace and know you are a Christian. From our text this morning, we are called from the beginning. I want us to look at three things importantly in this text we looked at. From verse 17 of it, the first thing that God is expecting, if we are going to be socially righteous, which I say the imperative of the gospel, that we can speak. We are living in a generation where talking about your faith is difficult. And we want the people in the community to see that Christ lives in us. The important thing we can do, number one, is to make sure that our old self is put off. One thing I have noticed, and I was there at a time, one is a Christian, we've given our lives to Jesus Christ, but then we carry the old self. I was telling a pastor recently, I think, Pastor, what you are doing with baptism for us at home is that we would go with a dry sin and we are immersed and come out with wet sin, and we will continue as we are. Yes, we are in the church. We are no longer just out there. And we can brag on the fact that we are now Christians and taking Holy Communion and doing this and that, but in the true sense of it, our old self is with us. Paul begged in verse 17. I urge you, he said, and he asks for the sake of the Lord that we put off, we will change from where we were. Let me say verse 17. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. That if we have Jesus Christ, then our lives should not be lived as before, as the Gentiles, in the futility of their thinking and in the way they feel that is how life should be. If you are, I know there are new people here. So last year I was talking about how Grace and Light began. It began because of a death of a pastor's wife with AIDS. And her name was Patience Chule. Patience had grew in the church, and she brags about the fact that she was raised in the church, and she was even baptized by the president, the then president of her church. And she feels she is full member. And in Nigeria, there is tithes and offerings, and everybody will show they are giving. But patient, and to crown it all, she married to a reverend in a church that has about 300 congregational members. Therefore, she felt complete Christian. But her life was not like that. She knew deep inside her Christianity wasn't holding. Fortunately for her, though unfortunate, she was dying with AIDS 20 years ago. By the way, we are celebrating 20th anniversary this month in Grace and Light, because that is when Grace and Light began, when patient died. So she was in this hospital dying with AIDS. And she knew now that she would see the Lord and there would be judgment. And she knew she had not lived a Christian. She was just bragging on nothing. And that is when patient gave her life to Jesus Christ some few days before she died. Because she knew that she has been living in the futility of her thinking, that she had lived as the Gentiles did, that her old self had not changed at all. She told her story and said how she can be angry with people. This English in Nigeria, do me, I do you. God no go vex. If you give me black, I give you back black. That is what it means. Do me, I do you. God no go vex. So patience will give you that. She has lived with anger. She has lived with brawling, if you want. And she keeps malice. I knew her. And she asked the Lord to forgive her and asked that she would change. So what we are talking about is that if Christians, number one, would decide that they don't want to live the way they have been living before, that there is change in their lives, and agreed with Paul that let us put off the old self. That is number one point I want to bring in social righteousness this morning, that our old self is no longer visible. But the second thing we have to do, okay, what are the old self? We have called them. When you go down, it talks about which is the social righteousness. It talks about thieves. Maybe there are no thieves in England. We have many of them in Nigeria, and many come to church. Some would even steal before they come to church. There was a conference going on for all the deacons and pastors of a particular denomination, and the armed robbers just came and met them in the hall. And they beat the pastors off, and some of them were bleeding because they came with guns. So much violence. And they picked their phones and monies and everything they could carry. And when they were going out, one of the old Baba pastor, his phone rang. It means he didn't give out his phone. So one came back and hit him again with the gun. And the Baba started bleeding and was crying. And the thief told him, don't worry, Baba, don't cry. Baba is like dad. Don't cry at all. Tomorrow, it was on a Saturday retreat. He said, tomorrow we are bringing tithe to the church. You can buy another phone. Did you see? So we sit down with the futility of all the old self in the church and filled up there, but then our lives show nothing. Our desire is, as Christians, if we're going to live social righteousness, if we're going to go out there and make a difference, then our old self need to be removed, that we no longer live by the old self. That is number one. Number two that we need to do is, if we put off old self, then something must come in. And what is that that will come in? He said we have to put on new self, which is created to be like God in true righteousness and in holiness. There is no way we will remove something and leave it open, leave it empty. Something more bad things would come in. There should be a renewing, a putting off of a new self. And this new self, we don't have it of ourselves. Righteousness is found only in Christ. We cannot handle it on our own. We cannot say, now that I have received Christ, I am on my own righteous. Because there is no one that is righteous. I remember one of the words Jesus told his disciples, unless your righteousness is more than those of the Pharisees. I was in Jerusalem some years ago, and I asked one of the Jews that was guiding us, who is a Pharisee? What does he mean? He said, a Pharisee is that good guy in himself, that he goes to the market, he doesn't put his head up so that he won't even look at you and sin. And it's this guy that would come back, he described it so much that he is that clean person. He shakes you and he comes and washes his hands and washes his legs before he enters the house. And all of those trying to be neat and clean and sanctified, he said, that is a Pharisee. And Jesus said, unless your righteousness is more than those of the Pharisees, I can't see us, not at all. But even that one, he said, our righteousness is like a filthy rat. So it means we have no righteousness on our own, and we cannot be holy on our own. That Jesus would have to give us his righteousness, and in his righteousness, we can create new self. But before then, in the earlier verses after 17, it says, there should be the renewal of our minds, a daily renewing of our minds. If we are putting off our old self, that is number one, to be able to live socially righteous. Then the second thing, okay, the B part of it is that we are renewing our minds. When the world will say it doesn't matter, to us it matters. And what would we do different? When the world will say, if you don't want to talk to your brother, don't talk to him, keep him off your life, you are saying, no, it matters. And I want to talk to her even when she doesn't like to talk to me. And I want to get her closer. I want to show her that I have Christ in me, the renewal of the mind. Like in Nigeria, when somebody will come to work and put his file on the table and go out to do his personal business, not minding what the government would do, or they just don't mind whoever is there. They go out. A teacher comes and sell handouts and will not go to class and will be doing extra things. Doctors in the hospital would not be in the hospital. They would have private clinics to be doing their things. And people see it as normal. We are saying Christians should see it as it matters because of the renewing of the mind every time. And then the new self would be putting on. And the last thing is the practical things that Brother Paul brought. He said from verse 25, let our talk, as we talk daily, it should be in righteousness and no falsehood. Whatever you are doing, no falsehood. You are no deceit in whatever we say to somebody or what we feel. That whatever is in our hearts is what we are bringing out. He said, in our anger, do not sin. One man I was counseling with, his wife, he said, yes, even the Bible says we can be angry. But where is the remaining part of the verse? And I'm waiting for him to say, the Bible says, do not sin. He didn't stop on do not sin. He said, let the sun not go down without you handling that matter. But many Christians, and even with their wives, and I don't know for here, but back home, they would be in the same house for weeks, they don't talk. Well, some not weeks, some even for one day, but the Bible says, let the sun not go down. Please, you are excused to be angry. I told the husband, yes, you are excused to be angry, but then the sun should not go down with your anger. Don't sin. Don't give the devil a foothold. Those practical things that we can do daily, let's do it in our speeches, no unwholesome talks, and that we should get rid of all the bitterness inside, unforgiveness. And we have people that would anger us and would make us feel bad. But please, don't hold on to it. And this is where people would see Jesus Christ in our lives outside. That is the Bible we would speak about. A person in your neighborhood, in your office, in the places that don't want to talk to you, you know very well they don't want to see you. You see them and show them the love of Christ, but not by force, but because you carry the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is social righteousness. And doing the right thing, maybe integrity, if I would say it, just doing that which the Lord wants you, not morality, not by our strength, but because Jesus Christ had given us righteousness, then we can do it in his grace, the grace we were talking about in our gospel. If we are able to do that, then our lives can be sure. With these words, I want to thank you again. Looking forward to seeing you another time and soon. Shall we pray? I want to give, okay, so as my parents come, they will pray for me, but I want to also pray for us as under what we have heard. So if you put your head down and look at your life, are you living in social righteousness? Is Jesus Christ's righteousness in us? What are we struggling with? Who is this person we cannot forgive? Because we don't have the power to forgive. The last verse said, be kind and compassionate to one another. We should forgive one another even as God has forgiven us in Christ. Would you let go of somebody? Don't be angry with them. They may be relations, they can be friends, they can be people around. What is this difficult thing that is not letting your light shine out there? Ask God for grace. He will renew you and make you a changed person. And you can live the way he wants you to live. Father, you know us individually. And we thank you because you love us and you want us to be these letters written without even speaking, that many will know you because you have given us the privilege of knowing you. Pray that you would help each one of us to go out there and shine and live in righteousness, that socially people would want to be attracted to Christ because they have seen you in us. Thank you because your word and your spirit that lives in us would interpret it to our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.